The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. I told you a couple of hours ago about a woman who is the victim of a brutal dog attack. And it is just another extension of the drug vagrant RV squatter problem that we have all around our region. And let's hear the story from her. Let's get right to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
We have talked an awful lot about the residual crime effect around all of these RVs, the drug lots, the encampments all around the city. And there are some really sad stories that are coming out about innocent victims of these drug RVs. And one of those victims is Leslie, who had a pretty horrific experience with an RV parked outside of her business in Soto. And she joins us here on Cairo Radio. Leslie, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
Tell me what happened to you. You were just down at your business in Soto, and what went down?
Yep. It was just a typical day, like I always do, is I have a 150-pound Grey Dane, and I take her for a walk every morning. And as we walked out of our business, we have two motorhomes that I had brought to the attention of Congresswoman Gonzalez about the danger of these, the fact that we have called the officers, we've called the animal control on these two motorhomes, because I've been very concerned with, you know, just their actions and the way that they've reacted to us. On Friday, things just escalated to the worst case scenario. As we started to approach the motorhome, the one girl in the motorhome opened the door freely with her three dogs standing there and let them out. And they literally came full board running at me and my dog, teeth bared down and just ready to take us down. And that's exactly what they did.
Oh my goodness.
They went for my dog first, and I tried to break them up and was a little bit successful because Lily was able to get away to get to the other end of this kind of ivy area. And that's when the other dog decided to have his heyday with me and attacked me pretty good.
What an absolute nightmare that would, I mean, it's just an otherwise nondescript, pleasant Friday morning and just hell rains down on you from out of nowhere.
Yeah, and the kicker of it, Dory, is that all these, I don't call them homeless, I call them squatters.
Sure.
Because they've just kind of taken over our city. They were all standing on the sidewalk just watching this whole thing play down while I was screaming for my life, begging for somebody to help me, to call 911, asking them to get control of their dogs, and they did absolutely nothing but stand there and watch it happen.
How many of these drug squatters were just watching this?
From my recollection, at least six.
Really? And are they saying anything? Are they trying to at least call off the dogs?
No, they did nothing. They absolutely did nothing whatsoever to try to contain the dogs, to get them off of my dog. It had gotten into a situation where two of them were attacking Lily, and she has over 15 puncture wounds all over her body. This other one, which I believe was the more aggressive dog of the pack, decided to have his heyday with me. So after he basically split my finger in two, he then decided to just keep coming back. And fortunately, I was able to turn. So he just primarily got my one leg and an elbow. It was not a fun experience.
No, man, those Great Danes, those are just sweethearts too, aren't they?
Oh, they're big marshmallows.
Yeah.
They don't have a mean bone in their body.
Right.
She had no idea how to defend herself at all.
Yeah.
And the sad part about it is that we had been literally calling for months now calling the Seattle Police Department, reporting 911, you know, telling them it's not an emergency. So we get dispatched to a different department, and they're really wonderful to work with. But there's only so much that they can do and so much that the city will actually enforce.
Yeah.
And so we've been begging for them to get these guys out of here. And I've warned them that something was going to happen. And it did.
Oh, yeah. No, there's an inevitability.
Like they're not going to do anything.
So what was the police response once you and Lily were mauled?
Well, I did not get to really be here at that time because I was bleeding so bad. And my son was worried I was going to go into shock. He rushed me to Harborview. And that's where one of the officers came and actually interviewed me up there at the hospital.
And have they gotten rid of the RVs?
No, you gotta
be kidding me.
They're
still sitting there.
Are you kidding? Oh yes. Talk about anxiety attack when I pulled up yesterday morning and saw that those two motorhomes are still here. Now the only one thing is I do have to give some credit to SOTO BIA. They have helped us dramatically with pushing forward, getting another sweep in our area, and we've been told that on Friday they will be asked to leave. But for 4 days, they'll be back.
Leslie, that is unbelievable to me that they allowed them to stay there for 1 second after they attacked you and your dog like that.
Exactly. And to be honest with you,
yeah.
I don't even know if they really got a citation. We were told they were going to get a ticket for having a dog off leash that was somewhere in the $54 to $44 range, but we can't even confirm whether or not they've been cited at all.
Yeah, well, and they have nothing, so you can't go after them civilly. I mean, they have nothing to go after, I'm sure. So you testified before the Seattle City Council yesterday, was it?
I did.
What did you tell them?
I tried to be very honest and speak from my heart, Dory, and basically what I told them is that I am sick and tired of being a forgotten voice. We talk about the Me Too. We talk about all these other small groups and this and that and how we have to help them. What about the we's in the world? What about us?
No.
What about the people that are law-abiding, tax-paying, hard-working individuals that are just trying to get by day to day and live in a very safe environment? That's all we want. That's all we want. But we have no rights. It's such a double standard in this city that it's gotten out of control. And they pushed me too far. They went after my dog, and now I'm not going to stay quiet about it anymore.
No, nor should you. And, I've been doing everything I can, Leslie, to spotlight these stories, because clearly what we need is a complete house cleaning of the Seattle City Council. We have an incompetent band that has just allowed this city. I mean, I was born and raised here, Leslie, and I have watched this city go into the gutter, and it makes me sick. And when I hear stories like yours, it just illustrates the absolute, not just incompetence, but the lack of any human compassion for the business owners, the taxpayers, the job creators like you. They have contempt for people like you and me. And that's what I've had it with.
So well said.
Yeah.
So well said. That's one of the reasons I love your show so much, that you speak honestly. You know, you tell it how it is. And it's time that more people start standing up, start taking responsibility. I'm not going to be a victim anymore. I'm not going to allow it to happen. I'm going to keep speaking out. And I need people to follow you, and I need people to help me get this word out. We need, like you said, to clean house.
Yeah.
Every single one of those people on the city council should not get reelected ever. For any position.
Yeah.
Well, they are totally ineffective.
I'm with you.
And they do not have the heart and soul of every citizen in this area, in this county, for their best interest. They don't care about us.
You are absolutely right. Well, Leslie, it's nice talking with you, and I wish you and Lily the very best in your recovery, and we'll keep up this fight together, okay?
Appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time.
Leslie Shelton joining us, and yeah, we got a clean house here in this city. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, big local.
So Mayor Jenny Durkin announced her new budget for 2019, $5.9 billion. That's an increase of $300 million. And I just went and checked today. Boston is almost the exact same size as Seattle. And their 2019 city budget is about half of Seattle's, $3.3 billion. Seattle is $5.9 billion. And Boston has 2,200 cops. Seattle has 1,400. And I've told you that if I was mayor, I would fix this city so fast, it'd make your heads, I'd make Seattle great again. One of the first things I'd do is the accused child rapist, ex-mayor, Ed Murray, he added about 1,300 bureaucrats to the city payroll. I would cut the city payroll by about a third because we have way too many City of Seattle employees. And that is the savings that would allow me to bump up our police department. Jenny Durkin's new budget says it'll pay for 40 new cops. We need 40 new cops, but we actually need about 800 new cops so that Seattle could be up there with Boston. We'd have the same police force. Instead, we've let the criminal drug squatters take over the city. They got their pit bulls attacking the woman I just talked to and her dog. I would let our cops actually do their job if I was mayor. But the fact that Boston is much better run with about half the budget for next year of Seattle, and Boston has more than 50% more cops than Seattle has. We are a city of desperately misplaced priorities. And Jenny Durkin, I listened to her press conference yesterday, and she was talking about her fiscal responsibility. Yeah, slash the budget to about two-thirds of what it is. Get rid of all the bureaucrats working for the city and add about 800 new cops instead of 40. Then we would be on the right path. But instead, we are going to become, or we're going to continue the path we've been on, just the same old bureaucratic swamp of city workers who are superfluous, who have done very little to add. I mean, do you think our city, with the massive increase in our budget, do you think our city is dramatically better than it was 5 or 10 years ago when our budget was a fraction of what it is now? I don't think any reasonable person with half a mind would argue that adding all of those city employees that the accused child rapist added has made us a better city. So for Jenny Durkin to talk about how she's trying to be fiscally responsible, now we continue down the same old bureaucratic swamp path that we've been on for many, many years now. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, top trending.
So after I got off the air yesterday, Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, he and his wife went on with what's her name? What is her name? The gal on Fox News. Martha McCallum.
There you go.
They went on with Martha McCallum and said a lot about these accusations. And I told you yesterday, I believe these accusations are bogus. I do think that this is just a coordinated hit job by the Democrats. The so-called witnesses to both of these events have said, we don't remember anything about it. Brett Kavanaugh and his wife sat down with Martha McCallum, and he talked about, you know, yeah, he partied when he was back in school.
And yes, there were parties, and the drinking age was 18, and yes, the seniors were legal and had beer there. And yes, people might have had too many beers on occasion, and people generally in high school, I think all of us have probably done things we look back on in high school, sure, and regret or cringe a bit, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about an allegation of sexual assault. I've never sexually assaulted anyone. I did not have sexual intercourse or anything close to sexual intercourse in high school or for many years thereafter.
Okay, so that was his defense, and he went from that to just a flat-out denial.
I've never sexually assaulted anyone, not in high school, not ever. I've always treated women with dignity and respect. And this is an allegation about a party in the summer of 1982 at a house near Connecticut Avenue and East West Highway with five people present. I was never at any such party. The other people who are alleged to be present have said they do not remember any such party. A woman who was present, another woman who was present, who is Dr. Ford's lifelong friend, has said she doesn't know me and never remembers being at a party with me at any time in her life. All I'm asking for is a fair process where I can be heard.
And after watching this interview, I'm more convinced than ever that he did not do these things that he's accused of. And I'll tell you why. If he did those things, there is a different strategy that would have been employed here. And believe me, we're dealing with the highest elements of power in the world. You know, a president trying to get his nominee onto the U.S. Supreme Court. They have the most powerful PR people, spin doctors. If he is guilty of the things he's accused of, I guarantee you the strategy would have been different. The strategy would have been, yeah, I was making out with the girl at the high school party who says she was 15, he was 70. Yeah, we were drinking, I was making out with her, but it didn't go as far as what she describes. He'd say that. If it was the Yale, the second accuser that came forward Sunday night, yeah, we were drinking, but, you know, and there were some people who did some things that I don't approve of, but it didn't go as far. I mean, there would be a way, because I asked people yesterday, even if he was guilty of these things, should that be a disqualifier for the Supreme Court if he's led an impeccable life for the last 36 years? And even the self-described Democrats who were texting me said, no, we can't judge somebody off of something they did while drinking at a high school party 36 years ago. There is a strategic defense, an approach that he would have taken. But he must be so certain that there's no witnesses because he didn't do these things, that he's just doing the flat-out denial. And that convinced me, that interview convinced me even more of what I believed going in. And that's that this is a witch hunt. It is Democrats who are just furious that Hillary lost, and they don't like that the president gets to put his nominee onto the Supreme Court, and that this is all made up. Now, we'll find out as the week progresses. And now there's talk that the first accuser, Dr. Ford, she doesn't like the terms of the Thursday meet with the Senate Judicial Committee, and she might not even show up. So all of this just smacks of a bogus witch hunt that is straight out of the Democrat playbook that they did with Clarence Thomas and Robert Bork and, you know, Harry Reid's lies about Mitt Romney's taxes. It is a well-worn path that the Democrats trod, and I'm certain that he would have taken a different strategic approach if he was even remotely guilty of the things he's accused of. But when he said, I was never there, nobody's going to be able to say I was there because I wasn't. I mean, if somebody came out with a picture from that party or something, he'd be finished. But he sounds very confident in his defense, and that's why I believe this is indeed a Democratic witch hunt, and that is your big lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Hey, stick around. Right after Ursula checks the news, we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the day, and I'm going to give you a chance to win tickets to a Ken Griffey Jr. Mariners night. That's straight ahead here on the Barry Monson Show. Nice, John. Nice. What version is this? not the album version.
No, it's some weird karaoke version that sounds pretty close to the original.
Why don't we play weird karaoke versions of Supertramp songs instead of the Supertramp version?
That's a really great question,
That's
Dory.
That's a really bad answer, Sean.
98973 if you have the correct answer of why we would do that.
Yeah, you got the number wrong. Text is 98973.
That's what I said.
No, you said 99.
I said 98973. Check Let's go to the tape.
Check the tape.
We're checking the tape.
Okay, all right.
God, why are we fighting?
I have no idea. I'm going to give away some Mariner tickets in a few minutes. You know why I give those away, Ursula?
Because you love.
You're absolutely right. Okay, let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio. Clips of the day.
Awesome Audio brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. Did you watch America's Got Talent this season?
I did not.
I was hooked on it.
I didn't even know it was on.
I was hooked on it. It's one of those shows that's great to watch on those sleepless nights at 2 in the morning.
And Lord knows you have a lot of those.
So one of the guys who's on the show, his name's Michael Kederer, and... incredible story, and they just played it up. They went to his home. He and his wife have adopted a bunch of special needs kids, and he seemed like kind of a humble guy with just an absolutely incredible voice.
Number three.
I skip forward here.
Baby, there ain't no mountain high enough. Ain't no river low enough. There ain't
So anyway, very nice voice.
Very nice.
Agree. And they were just in his wife and their special needs kids would be in the audience. And he would always credit her with, whatever he's attained. And the judges would literally be crying at the end of his performance, not just because of his voice, but because of the kind of man he is.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, tough.
I feel like
this is Simon Cowell crying.
Look, oh, gosh. As a
let it out, Simon.
As a dad, you know, I kind of get, I can't imagine what you've done and the fact that you're on this show and you really need this and you're a really, really special guy. And I don't know, something about you.
Just a really special guy.
Is that he is a big soft papa.
Uh-huh.
Mel B. Oh, why me?
She's sobbing too.
Mel, what are you writing?
I'm just trying to doodle so I don't cry too much.
Everybody's trying to.
You're just an incredible person, an incredible human being.
Incredible human being. Everybody just loved his story. Heidi Klum said this about him.
Heidi,
we just need more men like you.
Yes, please.
So anyway, he finished fifth or sixth, but Garth Brooks is his hero, and Garth Brooks said, "Hey, come and open for me." And Garth Brooks is playing, 60, 70,000 seat stadiums. And just all this guy's dreams are coming true now.
That's just amazing.
Yeah, 5 days ago, he was arrested for domestic violence. Garth Brooks.
You just had to ruin the story.
Garth Brooks has kicked him off the tour. And he, police got called. He was at a hotel with his wife. She had a visible mark on her body. She doesn't want to press charges. But they did arrest him. She and he say it was a big misunderstanding.
Well, I wonder if the sudden fame.
I don't know.
Kind of. Oh, that's just sad.
No, it can't be sudden fame. I mean, if you're capable of hitting a woman,
there's nothing seriously wrong.
No, there's nothing that can take somebody. The vast majority of men who just could never possibly hit a woman and push you over that line. It was. Sickening story. Okay, next up in our awesome audio, Donald Trump, he got laughed at the United Nations this morning, and he does sound ridiculous when in front of the UN he's touting all of his achievements.
Number two.
In less than 2 years, my administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true.
So they're all laughing at
it. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
So I see all the messages that, you know, they all laughed at him at the UN. And he deserves to be laughed at. He sounds ridiculous. You know, nobody's accomplished more than me. He can say that at one of his rallies in front of all of his supporters, but not in front of the UN. It just sounded ridiculous. But then he says stuff like this that nobody reports that I loved.
We will never surrender America's sovereignty to an unelected, unaccountable global bureaucracy. America is governed by Americans. We reject the ideology of globalism, and we embrace the doctrine of patriotism.
Yes, we have had a president who's been willing to say that for forever. So yes, he says ridiculous things, but he also says stuff that's good that no president has said. Let's give away some Mariner tickets. The fifth caller right now, 888-973-CHIRO, is going to win two tickets to the September 29th game. First 20,000 fans will get a Ken Griffey Jr. pop collectible. You can hear the entire Rangers series on 710 ESPN Seattle. Fifth caller right now, 888-973-CHIRO, gets Mariner tickets because I love today's signage.
Down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day.
And still much more to do with today's edition of
Today's Sign that the End is Near.
Today's sign the world is soon coming to an end. You know, sometimes guys just need a guy's night out. Just gotta be out socializing with your boys. And that's what happened to Lee Ford. His girlfriend was 35 weeks pregnant, and he just decided, one evening, got to be out with the guys. But the evening went horribly wrong when Zoe, his 35-year-old, 35-week pregnant girlfriend, got a frantic phone call from Lee. He said that he had been kidnapped and that the kidnappers were going to torture him unless she transferred money into the kidnapper's bank account. She complied and transferred the money to the account, but she also called the police. And the police investigated. They showed up at the house the next morning because Lee was released by the kidnappers. And they interviewed him, and he kept telling the cops about the kidnappers. Well, after a 24-hour police investigation that cost about $40,000, it was revealed that it was all a prank, a hoax. Lee had done it just so he could have that night out with the guys. And he said, we'd all had a few drinks and we thought this would be really funny. He was sentenced to 16 weeks in jail, and because of that, he missed the birth of his new baby. That is a very costly night out with the guys. I'm guessing the girlfriend isn't too pleased about that one. Today's signed story number two. Oh, this is so disgusting. Stories of food tampering are so horrific to me. At the Detroit Tigers baseball ballpark, there was one food concession worker, and he told his co-workers, I spit on the pizzas. Been doing it a long time. And one of the co-workers was so horrified by that, he set up his phone to record video, and he caught video of the guy spitting on a pizza right before they served it to one of the customers. The co-worker is Quinnell May, and he explained what happened.
And I asked him, was he serious about that? Like, was he really going to spit on a custom pizza? And he said, yeah. So I pulled out my phone to have proof just in case he did it. So I went home and I posted the video to show people what was going on because they obviously didn't want to listen. I was going to stay after to go down and speak to the HR to not cause a scene in the stand, but they didn't want to listen to me.
The video's gone viral. It shows the guy spitting on the pizza and then rubbing the pizza sauce in with his spit. And Quinnell said it's not the first time this guy did it.
He said he's done it before, and he's been working there for 3 years or two or whatever he said. So it's no telling how many people probably looked over it. And I was just that one person to catch it and film it and turn it in.
So here's the part of the story that's just absolutely infuriating. The guy who recorded the video, Quinnell, and posted it on Instagram, he has now been fired, or he says he's been fired. The food service company denies it, but he says, yeah, they contacted me. They told me to take it down, or I would be fired.
I'm disgusted at him for spinning a pizza, and I'm also disgusted at Comerica Park for threatening to sue me for posting a video and exposing it when they should be worried about him spitting in the pizza.
I can't, but they're threatening to sue this guy. And look, maybe you should have handled it in-house, but still, I don't know why these things bother me so much. I mean, I know they would bother anybody, but that makes me just want to get nauseous here. All right, and finally in today's sign, there is a local story that has gone viral. It's out of Maple Valley. And here's the headline in the Seattle PI. Naked man in park was just in the woods, masturbating, minding my own business. There were people in Maple Valley, and on this nature trail, they saw 55-year-old Kenton Shawl. He was just pleasuring himself in full view of everyone. So a bunch of people called the King County Sheriff's Office. When the deputies arrived, they found two guys tussling because a 42-year-old passerby was so disgusted by it. He told the guy to knock it off, and then they started fighting. Deputies found the guys covered in mud and dirt. When a deputy asked the 55-year-old man what he was doing, he said the passerby found me with my bleep in my hand and kicked my bleep. The guy said, bro, cut me some slack. I was just in the woods by myself, pleasuring myself, minding my own business. He said he was just a guy trying to take care of his needs, according to the police report. He was beaten so badly by the guy who witnessed it, they had to take him to the emergency room, and they're pursuing charges against the guy who beat up the homeless, exposed dude. The homeless pleasure himself guy, he's got previous convictions for indecent exposure, so this current offense is a felony. He does this all the time by himself. So he's facing felony charges. His attacker's facing felony charges. This is a crazy region that we live in right now. And all of that is today's sign. The end is near. I gotta get out of here. I've said everything I have to say for today. Ron and Don Show is coming up next. Have a lovely Tuesday evening. Head up.
I thought I'd cut out early, make this a long weekend.
It's Tuesday.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.